All right. Well, we each year at Father's Day, we just like in Mother's Day, we take time to recognize the impact and the importance of fathers, and at the same time challenge our fathers who are here to realize what an incredible privilege it is to be a father. And year by year, we push forward this thought, do not miss it. Do not miss it. What an opportunity. Before we get started, I just found a couple of things. In our culture, we talk about the differences between men and women. And, I found something that I want to share with you. I think it'll be a help to our ladies here in regards to dealing with us men. But before I share some of that with you, I found this and I wanted to read it. A mother and her 4-year-old son were looking through an old photo album, and the boy pointed to a picture of a handsome young man with dark curly hair, and he asked, "Who's that?" And she told him, she said, "That's your father." And the little boy looked confused and said, "Then who is that bald guy who lives with us now?" And I read that, that made me laugh. But ladies here, if you don't get anything else, this might be a help to you going forward. Some things that men say that I'm going to try to translate for the women here today. This is taken from what's called the Men's Thesaurus. Men don't always say what they mean. That's the subtitle. So I'm going to help translate some things. When a man says, "It would take too long to explain," what he means is, "I have no idea how it works." When a man says, "Take a break, honey, you're working too hard," what he really means is, "I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner." When a man says, "It's a guy thing," what he means is, "There is no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance of understanding what I'm saying." When a man says, "Can I help with dinner?" what he really is meaning is, "Why isn't it ready yet?" And now, ladies, when you're out shopping for some clothes and you're in the dressing room and the man says, "You look terrific," what he means is, "Oh, please don't try on one more outfit. It's late and I'm starving." When a man says, "I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are," what he means is, "No one will ever see us alive again." When a man says, this one really got to me, it says, when a man says, "I can't find it," what he means is, "It didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I am clueless." And this is an important one too, ladies. When a man says, "That's not what I meant," what he really means is, "If I said something that can be interpreted in two ways, and one of those ways make you angry or sad, I meant the other one." So I wanted you guys to hear some of that. Now you've been instructed. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. We're going to talk a bit this morning about fathers and the role and the responsibilities and for us to appreciate what fathers do who take these things seriously. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together today. And Lord, we've been reminded of many things, of people who are suffering, those who are going through hard times. And Lord, we again pray and ask you to help each one. And Lord, we know this isn't heaven yet, and we know that this place has tribulation and trials and sorrows. Lord, we pray that through it all that people would be comforted and helped. And Lord, help us now as we turn our attention to the role of fathers. I pray, Lord, whatever age fathers are here today, that they would take this on. And Lord, for those who fatherhood is out ahead of them still, we pray that some of these things would find a home in their hearts. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, I said, it is an incredible privilege to be a father. Often it's taken for granted. And because of the demands that fatherhood sometimes bring to us, sometimes it can be resented, and that's a mistake on our part. At times, though, being in this thing of being a dad, a father, it can seem so long and difficult. And yet, when your children are grown, you'll look back and wonder how quickly it all went by, just how quickly the years passed. There was a father who said, I wish I were half as great as my five-year-old thinks I am, and only half as stupid as my teenager thinks I am. At the end of life, hardly anybody says, I wish I'd spent more time down at the office, or I wish I'd spent more time watching TV. But usually, and I will tell you, and I say it on a regular basis, usually folks, as they're coming to the close of their days, if there's any kind of regret, I wish I'd spent more time with the people that I loved and who have loved me. And so I think the message is, don't let that opportunity slip away while you have it. I read of a young businessman that made it a habit of asking older men what regrets they had as they moved through their lives. And he asked this hoping to gain some insight and avoid some of those regrets in his life. There were two regrets that showed up. The answers were varied and many, but two of them over and over again. One was, I never put my own financial house in order. I didn't take care of the finances, the obligations, and so I was unprepared for that. But the second one is even more important. And here's what it boiled down to. I was so busy trying to improve our standard of living that before I knew it, my children were grown and gone, and I didn't really get to know them. And so this is a young man who sought some advice. And there is wisdom in trying to keep that from happening in our lives. So today we recognize and we celebrate our fathers. I spoke to the fathers that were gathered on Friday night, and I brought the same thought, that fathers are important to the health of their families and to the health of society. You can't just cast fathers aside and expect that everything is going to go on as it should. Some here today have been fathers for a long time. Some have watched children grow up, grandchildren grow up, and even some are watching great-grandchildren make their way in this life. Some are new at it. We saw two this morning had children, young children. And someday, some who are in this place will be a father. Some don't have children of their own, but they gladly serve as a provider and a protector, a father figure to others. And some pray that God would use them in that way, that their life could be used in that way. I want to say this as well. Some moms are working hard trying to both be mother and father to those children. God bless them in that work. Now, we have taken time to honor our fathers and to give thanks for them. But I want today to also take some time to consider some important things fathers do. And the Bible has something to say about a father's role, and we're going to look at it today. And I'm not up here throwing stones at anybody. I'm just going to open in the Word and saying, here's what God says we need to be about. I will tell you, my wife can tell you very well, I fail at these same things. But you know, nevertheless, these are important things that we are called on to do. The first thing a father does, and that is provides instruction. And let's take a look. I want to read a passage here, Proverbs 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13 of Proverbs 4. I wouldn't say the first thing. The first thing a father probably does is wonder, what in the world am I going to do with this little baby? I've shared before, I have a picture of our oldest son when his little boy Scotty was born, and he's down at Good Sam Hospital in West Palm, and he's got this little bundle in his arms, and he looks like a deer in the headlights. I mean, if I showed you that picture, you'd say, Bruce, that's a deer in the headlights. And So fathers do a whole lot of things before they instruct, but one of the primary things fathers can do for their family is to instruct them. I want to read these verses, and I'm going to read 1 through 13 and then 20 through 22. My children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention and learn good judgment, for I am giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions, for I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved as my mother's only child. My father taught me, take my words to heart, follow my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Let's go to verses 20 through 22. He goes on to say in this same passage, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. I want to go to another verse in Proverbs. You're probably well aware of it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. He writes and says this, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. I want to ask you a question, and this can go out to all of us, young and old. What kind of instruction did your father give you? I want you to think about that. As I was going over these notes and considering this message today, I sat at my desk and I thought about things that my dad tried to teach me and my brother. And some of them have stuck. Others we're still working on. But I want to ask you, what did your dad teach you? A trade? Learn to work with your hands? A work ethic? Did he teach you to fish or hunt? To play some sport or a musical instrument? To love and honor God? You know, many of us here today, and I, you know, this is often overlooked, but if I was to sit here today and ask each and every one of you, this would take a while, of things that your dad taught you, the list would be incredible. Now, we're not a big church, but you would be amazed at what has been transferred and passed on by our parents, by our fathers. And we're not leaving moms out. We took care of moms on Mother's Day. Now, we're kind of zeroing in on dads today. Many of us are able to do things today because our fathers took the time and energy to teach us, and we need to be thankful. Amen to that? Now, we're not talking about dads who are perfect. We're just talking about being thankful for what was transmitted and transferred to us. Thankful, but especially so if you learned about God and His Word from a father's good example. There's a statement that I read, and it says, our lifestyle is our lesson. How we go about living life. And a part of this message, the last point, is fathers provide an example for their children. So I don't want to take too much time on that. But there's a saying that you've heard here many, many times. And I would say that maybe I'd apologize, but I don't apologize at all because it's truth. Have you ever heard that saying, more is caught than taught? More is caught than taught? We can tell and speak, but if our children see us actually doing what we're telling, that makes an impression. More is caught than taught. I want to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. I read this on Friday night as well. This was the instruction given to God's people as they were to enter into the land that had been promised to them. And Moses, their leader, got from God these instructions, and he repeated them. I want to read here from verses 4 through 7. And every Jewish family that has their eye on God reads this, and it's a part of their life. And they've transmitted faith in God over many, many years. And there's a reason for that, because they didn't let it go. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That's the very core of it, to love God. And the thing is, we didn't love God first. He loved us first. Our love to him is a response to his gracious love for us. And it should motivate what we do, to love God. And he says this, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I'm looking at Glenn there nodding his head. He grew up in a Jewish home, both he and his wife, and he knows what I'm talking about here. He could get up here and tell us a lot better than me. But what we see there is that it's on us, fathers, to transfer that knowledge and love of God. But we don't always do it. And a couple of reasons why. A lack of interest, just not considered important. A whole lot of other things crowd what God has to say about doing life right out of lives. And the second is that resources are applied elsewhere. Other interests and pursuits have taken our time and energy. And so when it comes down to speaking God's truth to our children, there's no time for it. Let's make sure that we take care of this important work, no matter what age our children are. I remember a number of years ago hearing a statement that one of those things that stuck in my mind, as some things do. And at first it caught me off guard, because I had failed to do something that I should have done. And somebody said, you know, Bruce, we make time for those things that we consider important. And it was like somebody had taken an arrow and shot it into my heart. What they were saying is, you must not think this is very important. I mean, that's the bottom line. Would you agree? And so, friends, we are challenged today from God. It says, do not let this go. Speak to your family, children, grandchildren, about God, our great God. Now, fathers, we make a mistake when we ignore our children, not making time for them, not being involved in their lives, not inviting them to be a part of our lives. I remember, I think it was James Dobson, a fellow who's done a lot of work with families, and he said, children spell love differently. Do you know how children spell love? Not L-O-V-E, but they spell it T-I-M-E, giving the gift of undivided attention. I want to read here, and I'm going to have to just blaze through it. An author by the name of Phil Calloway, he related two experiences in his life, and he pointed to something very important. He thought back, he was thinking about his life. He said, I awoke and lay still in the darkness. From my bed, I could hear the tick-tock of the living room clock. The enticing aroma of breakfast made its way down the hall. It was early, but suddenly I was wide awake. Morning was finally here, the morning of the hunt. As we drove down the dusty gravel road that cold November day, I knew that this would be no ordinary hunting trip. I had been hunting before, but today something was different. Today I was with Dad alone. Behind us lay the 12-gauge shotgun brought out on special occasions such as this. In front of us lay what would become one of the most vivid memories of my life. Being the youngest of five children, it was a rare occasion when I could be alone with Dad. He worked hard 6 days a week and was gone many weekends, but today he was all mine. Today I was with the greatest hunter in the world, my real-life hero. Years later, we were alone again as we drove down the same dusty roads. The shotgun was in the back seat, but this time it would serve a different purpose. For weeks, we had been watching the paper for just the right vehicle, something old and something cheap. And we finally found it in the form of a 1970 Ford Maverick. Do you remember that? Those cars. and now we hope to claim the prize. Arriving at the farmhouse, we carefully examined what was to become my very first car, and when it came time to pay up, Dad took out his precious shotgun and traded it in. Many years later, I sat up, remembering these thoughts, and I wondered what it was that had made those times with Dad so special. Was it the thrill of the hunt, or maybe buying my first car? No, the hunting trip wasn't very successful. And believe me, the car didn't last forever. But the memories did, because someone who had a to-do list as long as my arm had taken time to be alone with me. The love of an imperfect dad had mirrored the perfect love of our Heavenly Father. And then he went on to say this, I thought of my own children and the times my son had tried to get my attention while I read the paper or watched a hockey game on TV. I thought of evenings at work and deadlines I had to meet. I was busy with important things, wasn't I? I suppose I was, but that night, alone in the dark, I wondered just how important these things were. I wondered if anything in the world was more significant than the children that God had given me. And then he ended this thing that he wrote with a prayer. Lord, help me take the time to hold his hand, time to walk with him, time to talk with him, time to listen. Give me the presence of mind to put the newspaper down, to turn the game off, to leave my work at the office, to teach him about my loving Heavenly Father, and to somehow make it easier for him to know that you love him because of the way that I do, to show him that the most important things in life cannot be purchased, that they are truly gifts from you. Amen to that. So, fathers, a couple of things. We make a mistake when we ignore our children. We make a mistake when we indulge them, when we give them things that they want but they don't really need, saying yes when we should say no. And there's something in that, because indulging our children robs them of the kind of satisfaction and gratification that comes from wanting and working and waiting for something. You know, there's a great verse in Proverbs 13, verse 19, and it says simply this, it is pleasant to see dreams come true. When you work and you work to attain something and it happens, what a great blessing that is. Now, fathers, we also make a mistake when we insult our children, setting expectations that are unreasonably high and then criticizing them when they fail to meet those expectations. And then letting them know that we are never satisfied with their efforts. I want to read you a verse here that is an important one for fathers as you grow your children up. And by the way, it applies, fathers, to us at any age. We've got our oldest son who's before too long going to be 40 years old. What in the world? What happened? And you know, we interact. We stay in touch. And I've got to bite my tongue at times. And sometimes I don't bite it hard enough. And I think later, boy, that was a mistake. Let me read this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Okay? So, a couple thoughts there. It's just, do not exasperate those children. Try to be understanding. Try to understand where they're at and they're growing up. Don't expect them. And you say, act your age to a kid. You know, a lot of times what we're saying is, act like an adult. So I can go back to doing what I'm doing. But and it's not talking about letting your children just run wild, but not to set expectations and when they don't rise to them, to beat them down. Sadly, some young people, men and women, grow into their adulthood years never feeling like they can add up to what their dad thinks they should be. And what a tragedy that is. Here's the second thing, and going to get into this, a father's instruction. Secondly, a father's protection and provision. I'm going to ask, Robert, could you bring up 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8? I want to contrast two verses in the scripture in relation to a father's protecting and providing for his family. It says this in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. It says, "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." Boy, that lets you know what God has to say about fathers who are not on the job, not taking care of their responsibilities at home. John chapter 15, verse 13. This is what Jesus said, what love looks like. It says, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And certainly you could include your family in that. And so a father's protection and provision, it reveals a genuine interest in his family's well-being. A father should be the first line of defense for his family, demonstrating that love by providing and protecting for them. And fathers knowing what is going on in their lives. And that is hard to do, fathers, if we as fathers are absent in their lives. It's called being on duty as a father. And how many times we in the news are shocked and horrified at some of the positions that little ones are put in because a dad is off chasing something else. And so we are called to show up, to be present, and to be a part of their lives. This love is demonstrated not just when we meet physical needs, but also when we meet emotional and mental and spiritual needs in our family's lives. So here's the third thing. We have a father's instruction, a father's protection and provision, and then this one, a father's example. We started by looking at Proverbs chapter 4, and I in putting the message together and looking through it, it caught my eye as I was just looking through it one more time. And I want to go to Proverbs 4. We already read the verse, but turn to Proverbs 4 and verse 11. And it just really caught my attention because it points right to this subject of example that we provide for our families. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 11. "I will teach you wisdom's ways." And then what does it say? "And lead you in straight paths." Made me think about a conference that some of our men went to years ago. I couldn't tell you what year. I couldn't tell you who spoke, but I'm going to tell you what I remember. They were talking about a father's example, and they had a dad and his young son on the stage. There were probably 5,000, maybe 10,000 guys there of all ages and sorts and stripes, and we were having a good time. But they were talking about the importance of a father's example, and they had bear traps. I'm not talking about mouse traps or rat traps. Bear traps, and they showed what a bear trap will do. It's got teeth, and it can probably snap a leg and break it instantly. And they actually stuck a stick in and set one off. And they had bear traps scattered on the stage, and they blindfolded the young boy, and they said, "Go ahead." They were all open, primed, and they said, "Go ahead and make your way through this minefield, these bear traps." And the young fellow was getting ready to start, and they said, "Stop." And what they had the boy's father do was step in front of him, and the boy put his hand on the father's shoulder, and the father walked him safely through that dangerous situation. A father's example. There's another passage, Proverbs 20, verse 7. It says, "The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them." If you had a dad who loved his family, sadly, not everybody can say that. But that shouldn't stop you from trying to be that for your family. But it says, how blessed is that person who has parents who walk in integrity, the children who follow them, think about them making their way through the bear traps. It's one thing to give our children instruction. It's another thing altogether to set an example for them. Amen to that? There's an old saying, children may close their ears to their parents, but their eyes remain wide open. That is the truth. There comes a point where, you know, mom and dad don't know anything. But I tell you this, they're still watching. And keep that in mind. Our words, our actions, our faith, making tough decisions. You know, when you've, fathers, when you've got some difficult decision before you, let your kids see what that looks like so they understand the gravity of it and they understand what you're up to. Of course, if you don't want them seeing the decisions you're making, you're going to hide them from them, aren't you? But don't think for a minute they don't know what's going on, because their eyes are wide open. Children, someone said, children are great imitators, so give them something great to imitate. I couldn't help but think about when our oldest son was just a little guy, and we lived over in Stewart, and I would go out and mow the grass with that push mower, not even the kind that pulls itself. I had to push it. And we got Scott, our oldest guy, who's approaching 40 now, we got him a little plastic lawnmower. And I can still remember him behind me in the same row pushing that little lawnmower. And you know something, friends? Your kids, they don't care how many sermons you preach to them. The sermon they'll hear is how you live your life in front of them. Now, I'm going to lay another one on you, and you hear it all the time. I even said it Friday night, but again, I make no apology because it's truth. Your talk talks, and your walk talks. It has something to say. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And so, friends, we have this challenge today that in our lives, and I look out here today and I see some who have very young children and some who are, I'm amazed every time I see Daniel's kids, they grow a foot. What are you feeding those guys? Some of that Jamaican cooking, that's what it is. I see some who children are grown. And they got children of their own. I would say this, that these things that we talked about today, don't give up now. No matter what age, or what stage in their life, they still need a father's instruction from time to time. They still need a father to protect and to provide for them. And they still need a good example. I'm going to close today with a video. I was supposed to have shown it a little bit earlier, but I don't want you to miss this. We're going to watch this video, and then we're going to close in prayer. But I want you to be thinking about it. We look to our fathers, and I'll share this with you. Even my dad, he passed away about 9 years ago. Even in his dying, my eyes were wide open, and I was watching. And I thank God for the example and what he gave to my brother and I.